And now we take you back to Trigg County School's Little Theater for another of tonight's Trigg County General Election Forums on 100.9 WKDZ.
And welcome back. I'm Alan Watts, Sarah Elliott from the Cadence Record joining me tonight. And we have on stage here at Trigg County School's Little Theater all of our Cadence City Council candidates that you'll see on the ballot on November 6th, 2 weeks exactly from today. So we appreciate all of them being here with you. And we'll let each of them introduce themselves in just a moment. We'll remind you kind of the rules. They change a little bit. They're a little different for our city council race and also for our magistrate race because we have so many folks on stage at the same time. But we'll do similar to the format we did earlier. We do remind folks in the audience, if you would like to submit a question, we'd love to have your questions tonight. Any topic concerning city business that you would like to ask a question about, just get it to us, raise your hand. We have our Interact students here. We really appreciate them being here tonight as well, and they will help us to get those questions to us. So if you have a question, go ahead and raise your hand real quickly. Otherwise, we're going to move right in. Each of our candidates have 1 minute for their opening statement, 1 minute for their closing statements, and then when we get to questions, they'll each have a minute to answer those questions. And we agreed, since we started on the left side last time of our table, Ms. Susan Bryant agreed to start first tonight. So Ms. Susan, we will let you start with your opening statement, okay?
I think that has to do with I'm the oldest one up here. But anyway, I'm Susan Bryant. I've lived in Trigg County all my life. I lived 1 year away in Cincinnati when I taught school. I taught school for 42 years and enjoyed it. Not all of my students may have, but I enjoyed it most all the time. I've been married to my husband a long time, and I have two children, Lee and Landy. I have been on the city council for, some people might think, too long. I enjoy being a part of making decisions and thinking about what needs to be best for our community. I always listen to people who talk to me. I'm interested in what everybody else wants to, because I certainly realize that I don't know the best always, well, hardly ever, what I should do. And it is a community, and we're supposed to work together as such. And so I try to adjust myself in that way. I listen. My husband does say sometimes, do I ever think first and then speak? And not very often. So I just say what I have to say, and we usually come to agreements on the council as to what is best at the end of the day. And we may not all agree, but it doesn't matter. We still get along because we know we're all here for the right reason. And we hope that that reason is to make Trigg County a good and a wonderful place to live. It already is, and we just want to keep it that way. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Bryant. We'll pass the microphone down to Ms. Susie Hendricks, who will have, are we doing 2 minutes, Melissa? Is that right? 2 minutes or 1 minute? 2 minutes. 2 minutes for opening statement. So, Ms. Susie, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Susie Hendricks. This is my first term. I'm about to finish on City Council. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. First and foremost, I'm a born-again Christian, a member of East Cadence Baptist Church. I've been raised here in Trigg County. It's where all my family that in Trigg County. I have come to really love this city council. I was really scared at first, and I thought when I started to run, I thought this will never happen, but it's something I always thought I wanted to do, was to make the effort to try to run. And since I was voted in, I have enjoyed talking to people about the situations and the issues. I've enjoyed being a part of it. I have learned so much. Fortunately, I get to sit next to Susan Bryant, so that's really taught me a whole lot in city council. So because of that, if you ever feel like you think you might want to run for something, you're just a little bit leery, just give it a try. You never know what you're going to get into until you try it. And now it makes me just want to do it again, because I'm just beginning to learn kind of the ins and the outs. 2 years is not very long to get started. So I would appreciate your vote and support for November the 3rd. Is it? How about the 6th? That's all the 6th. Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Susie Hendricks. We'll pass the microphone down next to Ms. Jeannie Bodine. You have 2 minutes for your opening statement.
Thank you. My name is Jeannie Bodine. I was born and raised here, lived in this community most all my life. Recently, I retired from a mega million dollar business that was extremely high stress, and I was real happy to say goodbye. And if you knew what kind of business it was, my customers were happy to see me say goodbye. And I live real close. You can walk to my house. And I own a store downtown called the Purple Pig, across from the city council, so I am a active business owner in Cadence. And so I have a very vested interest in what goes on with city council and with city business. My whole life, all I ever did was love Katie's. It was more important to me almost than anything. And the one time I did have to leave, I couldn't wait to get home. And I'm never going to leave unless I accidentally die outside the county. I'll get somebody to come haul me back. But I try not to leave very often, so that won't happen. But I'm going to pass you to Frankie and let him have a good time.
Thank you, Ms. Jeannie Bodine. We'll turn it over now to Mr. Frankie Phillips. Frankie?
My name's Frankie Phillips. I'm a lifelong resident in Katy Street County. I've been married to my wife, Tammy, for 4 years. I have one son, Matthew, a daughter-in-law, Kayla, three grandchildren, Michaela, Peyton, and Reed. Member of Canton Baptist Church. I'm a 35-year-plus employee of Tree County Ambulance Service, and I've been on the council for several years, and I enjoy serving the people of Katy's and Tree County.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. We'll pass it down to Mr. Brian Futrell. Brian?
Thank you. Brian Futrell, I'm the principal of the Tree County Intermediate School. I've worked at the Tree County Board of Education, Tree County School System, for the past 24 years. I have two children, Ella Ray Futrell, who's 12 years old, and Emily Futrell, who's 9 years old. I'm married to my wife, Leslie, who's a school teacher at the primary school. And so I have a lot invested in children in this community, and that's the reason why I run for city council. I'm seeking my third term. I've been on it for the past 4 years and would like to be on it for two more years because I'm in it for the youth and our kids in this community, and I would appreciate your support on November 6th.
Thank you, Mr. Futrell. We'll turn it over to Mr. Bob Noel. Bob?
Good evening. I'm Bob Noel. I'm married to my wife, Mitzi. We've been married for 39 years. Together, we've raised two daughters, Lauren and Layton. We've got two terrific son-in-laws and three granddaughters. I'm a lifelong resident of Katy's. I've been serving on city council for the past 9 terms. I've been serving the city of Katy's on the Katy's Fire Department for the past 35 years. I enjoy being on city council. I want to help this community grow and prosper, just making decisions that make a difference in your lives. And I would appreciate your vote and support on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mr. Noel. Now, Mr. Wes Schermerhorn.
My name is Wes Schermerhorn. I am probably the only one sitting up here who was not born in Trigg County. I'm an import from Pennsylvania. Although, to my credit, I've lived here over half my life, so maybe that counts for something. I don't know. I've been married to my wife, Michelle, for 25 years. My last daughter just graduated from Trigg County High School last year. Now, at that point, I had the opportunity to leave and move away. However, my 27 years down here, I've grown very, very attached to this community. I am a life member of the VFW here, and after 20 years, over 20 years of federal service, 5 years of state service, it just seemed logical to serve my community because I really can't picture myself living anywhere else. So, like everybody else up here on the 6th, I would also appreciate your vote. Thank you.
All right, now we'll start with our questions, and Sarah Elliott has our first question. Sarah?
Right. Susie, first question. What is something that you will do to bring activities and events to our community for the youth?
Well, you've probably been noticing at some of our council meetings, we've been talking about the swimming pool. And that is something that we really would like to do as a group effort, not just the city council, hopefully to bring in the fiscal court, tourism. We'd also like to bring in the Parks and Rec that we have developed, bring them in and do something in the city, not out in the county, do it in the city, and maybe even do it close to our senior citizens if we could do that. And maybe they could also use it as a place for water aerobics, an indoor and outdoor facility where it could be used for all people, not just our children. But you know, when you're out campaigning, that is something that people are really asking for, is that swimming pool. It's very important to them. So that was something I would like to see us be able to get back for our youth as well as our seniors.
Okay, Ms. Bodine, same question.
Well, Susie stole my answer. It's been a high priority of mine since the pool closed. I don't know how hard it would be to do, but if everybody worked together, I think it would be possible. It's the highest priority in my mind, get the pool back. Somewhere that's close that people could walk, ride the bike, indoor, outdoor, I don't care, need a pool. It's the store downtown, I'm so accessible, I can't get away. So when people come in, the first thing they ask is, are you going to mention the pool? We need a pool back. We want that pool back. And I can't say it enough. It's the number one thing on every person, young, old, and in between. They want the pool. We got to figure out a way to get it.
All right, Mr. Phillips, you'll have the same question. Okay. What is something that you will do to bring activities and events to our community for the youth?
Well, it seems like everybody wants a swimming pool. Maybe a skate park, maybe we could partner with the Parks and Recreation. We started that this time, maybe to bring more ball tournaments here, have more activities out at the complex, maybe even have more activities down at school, football, soccer.
All right, Mr. Futrell, same question.
Hey, I'm on the Parks and Recreation Committee, and we currently, there's members of the City Council, there's a member of the Physical Court, and there's members from Tourism on that committee, and we meet once a month to discuss activities that we can help support within our community. And some things that we have actually done and are currently in process of doing is a multi-purpose building at the complex for all of our kids who are involved in softball. If they're involved in soccer and they're involved in baseball, they have an opportunity to go out there and practice and do things in the wet weather, snow, and the cold time of the year, which they currently in the past have not been able to do. We have kayak ramps being built as of today and yesterday, I believe, out here at the park that we've approved to do as well for different activities like that, to get out on Little River to have better access and be handicap access. Our committee supports complex activities, different things that go on throughout there. We did a survey for Parks and Rec, actually led that survey, and the number one thing that folks wanted in this town was a swimming pool. So it is something we need to work on, but it's one thing that is going to have to take very many government entities to do it because it's going to be very expensive.
All right, Mr. Knoll, you'll have the same question.
I think partnering with the county whenever we built the activities building in the, at the complex has helped. That gives the kids somewhere to go, to be inside, like Brian was saying, and you know, they can go out there and practice anytime, whether it's raining or if it's nice outside. People are wanting a pool. I would like to know, find out what it's going to cost to put in such a pool and what it's going to cost to maintain that pool. You know, I've heard different figures, but I would like to know what it would cost before I would commit to that.
All right, Mr. Schermerhorn, you have the same question.
Actually, activities for the youth was something I alluded to when I replied to the Cadiz Record. We have venues downtown. We have the lodge. We have the complex out there. We have the facilities. At this point, it's just how do you draw, you know, people in or partner up with them? Take, for instance, the Salty Vets local organization. They had a ruck march. Anyone could have went on it. I mean, consider it a hike, a good way for people to get out. If we partner with the lodge, they have two pools. They have a weight room. They have hiking trails. Perhaps they can do something, you know, one day a week where we bring the community out to the lodge because it does belong to the county. However, it is ours. So, I mean, why do we not use it? And that's just something we should, you know, discuss. But yes, the pool is another issue. And as everyone has alluded to here, how do we fund it? And that's something we'll have to explore within the next 2 years. Thank you.
Oh, Ms. Bryant, same question.
Of course, I agree with what everybody else is saying, but I think we finally are, not finally, but we're going in the right direction with tourism, with city council, with parks and recreation, and with the magistrates. We now have some aims and some goals in mind. We're working together. The tourism, I'm sure y'all are aware, but they give a portion of their money over to Parks and Recreation so that they can then use that to do things for the community and especially the children. The building that's being built is the first project that is finished or about finished now, so we hopefully then will move on to another. And like we said, I mean, I hate to be redundant, but the swimming pool is an issue that everybody wants, and it's not something that'll happen tomorrow, but hopefully, with all of us working together, we can come up with a way to take care of that and do that. And, you know, the kayaks and all that come down here, I don't know if you go down to the Little River sometimes, but if you go down there, you see all kinds of people from out of town down there, and we are trying to use that more.
Thank you, Ms. Bryant. Appreciate that. And take care of a little business for a moment. WKDZ CADIS, and we're continuing our coverage of Decision 2018 to look at our candidates for the November general election and the CADIS City Council race. Our next question will start with Ms. Bodine. And a new question here. How do you plan to revive business in downtown CADIS if elected?
Oh, boy, that's pointed right at me. I'm sitting down there every day trying to figure out how to bring more people downtown. It's a dilemma. Small business, businesses are closing, people are not coming. You know, it's a dilemma. I use Facebook. I use every free thing that's even available to me. I use word of mouth. I use cards. I use letters. I use everything. And it's just the buildings are expensive. The rent's high. The overhead is astronomical on those old buildings. We just need to keep plodding on, trying to get people to come and look. And perfect place for a bakery, perfect place for a wine and cheese shop. I mean, there's a million things that would benefit us if it was there. We just got to get them to invest in us. So we just need to all keep talking. Just talk it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bodine. Appreciate it. Frankie Phillips, grab the microphone. And how do you plan to revive business in downtown CADIS?
I think we could have more events down there, city-sponsored events. We do have an incentive program for people to open businesses up downtown where we prorate their taxes, and the more employees they hire, the more they get off. And like Ms. Bodine said, the buildings are old and the buildings are expensive, rent's expensive, and it's hard to make it downtown. But more events, I think, city-sponsored events would probably help bring more business to downtown.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips, and we'll pass it along to Mr. Brian Future. Brian, same question.
Yes, downtown businesses, as you know, there's a lot down there. It's empty. It's a major challenge for any business to want to go downtown right now, and that's not only here in CADIS, but in other cities as well. Downtowns aren't thriving for the most part. You got to have a business that people want to go buy stuff from. It has to be an interest for adults and their kids to go and purchase something. It can't just be anything to go down there that you're only going to be offering to a select few. It has to be open to everyone, something everybody wants. That's how businesses thrive. They offer a product or products that people want to buy. So those are the types of businesses that need to be downtown if they're going to thrive. And so that's what I'm saying. That's the things you'd have to look at. Frankie's mentioned events. Yes, we hold events throughout the year. We have people that work for the city that do that. And a lot of times when they have those events, there's a lot of people downtown, and it helps those businesses out. And I challenge the businesses, too, to remain open on weekends as long as they can so people can come and visit their stores.
Same question, Mr. Bob Noel. How do you plan to revive business in downtown CADIS?
They were saying some of the buildings downtown are expensive to heat and cool. But like they were saying, if we had businesses down there that people have services that people want, and for people in this town and county to support, you've got to have something that they want to buy. I think our downtown is doing pretty good, but there are a lot of empty businesses. We have the events. The events do bring in people, but maybe we need to come up with some more different incentives than what we've got right now to attract more business. We'll just have to explore that and see.
Okay, same question, Mr. Shermerhorn. How would you plan to revive business in downtown CADIS?
Okay, by reviving business, essentially what you're going to bring is new people to the community. No one opens a business in a town and doesn't live there. Now, we've already started to take those steps. I mean, the whole thing with the water treatment, the sidewalks. I mean, it's beautification. It tends to make us look a little more modern. The more attractive we make our city, the more people are inclined to come and live here and, yes, open businesses. But it is a double-edged sword. You have to have the businesses to bring the people. So it is kind of a conundrum. And with the events and with all that goes with it, that's just something we got to keep pushing. But as it stands now, if you get things together like the pool, you know, like I said, the sidewalks, you will eventually attract people to this community. And then the businesses will follow.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sherborn. And same question to Ms. Susan Bryan. Susan?
This is a question that we've wondered about for a number of years. There's been empty buildings down there, and it's difficult to get people to come if they're not interested in coming. That it is expensive to have a business downtown, and you may not be able to afford that because of the money that you have coming in. The community needs to support the businesses downtown. If they're not supported, then they can't be successful, and therefore other businesses are not going to come because they won't see the success. There are a number of things offered, but like, I don't know, I think maybe Brian said, we need to offer a variety of things downtown. By we, I mean we've got to encourage people to come and to try to do something different downtown, to offer something that's not already there so that maybe we can bring people in. But our local community has to support all the businesses too.
Ms. Bryan, thank you very much. Ms. Hendricks, same question.
Yeah, like Ms. Bryan said, that it's a struggle. You know, it's a battle for all places. It's not just happening here in Cadiz that downtowns are becoming a thing of the past. You look at Hopkinsville, but they are bringing exclusive little shops in. You know, you see men's dress shops, and they've even added a barber shop within the men's shop at Hopkinsville. I noticed that lately happening. So we have got to add these things that lure people in. And you also got to be able to get people to go in and use these services that they have. So it's a struggle for everybody. I mean, we would love to have anybody that's interested to open a new business. It is expensive. The rent's high. The buildings are old. But, you know, we just got to keep plugging along and encourage people with our incentive packages. We do incentive packages for new businesses as well as existing businesses. So that's something that we're pleased with as well. So we just have to keep working at it.
Our next question will go to, actually, Mr. Frankie Phillips. You have our next question. And thanks, Sarah. This will be our final question, then we'll have closing statements after this.
Okay, Mr. Phillips, what would be your top three priorities if elected?
Well, jobs. Industry jobs, retail jobs, just any kind of jobs. The new water plant, I believe that is a big incentive for our industry to come in here. We can't be able to provide more water. With the new four lane being built, I think that opens up us to here between here and Murray. I believe we have a perfect spot up there next to I-24 for a new factory to come in. And just any kind of businesses will help Katie's grow.
Ms. Futrell?
Okay. Top three initiatives. Well, number one would have to be jobs because we're not knocking it out of the park by any means as far as anyone coming to Cadiz or Tree County right now. We just received some good news from the hemp industry that's coming manufacturing place for up to 100 jobs, which is wonderful. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come for us in the future. We want good paying jobs for families who have kids and children so they can remain here and not have to leave Cadiz Tree County to go somewhere else to make a great living. Number two, working with tourism, again, parks and recreation as a collaboration, and also with our magistrates who are part of that. Again, that's a huge goal of mine, is to do things for our kids and our senior citizens and everyone as far as offering things for them to do here in our town. And number three is to continue to enforce our ordinances that we have. Sometimes we get a little lax on those, and we want to continue to enforce all of our ordinances so people can have a good quality of life here in Cadiz and Tree County area. And And if we enforce those ordinances, it's just going to remain to keep people's property value up as well.
All right, Mr. Knoll, same question.
Kind of the same as the other two. It's people need jobs to be able to afford to live here. I'd like to help attract more businesses here. I'm glad to see the hemp plant come into town, but not only a plant type business, but small business too. I mean, if we can expand Katie's to do more small business here too, that would support some jobs too. And also, just like Brian was saying, things for our kids to do. The complex is a good place, and maybe we can come up with some things here in town for the kids to do, because they may be able to walk to or ride their bike to be able to do some different things here in town. The last thing, like I said, is just having a community that people want to live in and keep the town as nice as we can, keep our ordinances up and enforce those ordinances.
All right, Mr. Schermerhorn, what would be your top three priorities if elected?
Well, because of the way I'm wired, I would say first would be safeguarding the community, making sure the organizations, law enforcement, fire, have the equipment and, you know, everything they need to keep the residents of the city as totally safe as possible. Continuing to make the city attractive so that, yes, we can bring in more businesses and more jobs. And then last but not least, you know, continue on the path that they have continued on with those projects, with like the sidewalks, hopefully getting the pool and driving on in that arena. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Bryant, top three priorities if you're elected.
Well, I mean, you know, we all want jobs. We want industry or something to come in here if we can, and we do all that we can to try to encourage that. And people look at us sometimes. We don't always know it. They don't make everything public. We'll find out a little bit of something, but not something we can pass on. So there are people looking from time to time. So of course we want to add jobs and try to do better in that area. And then certainly we want more things for just the community to do. The students as well as the adults and the elderly, I mean for everybody. So it's a wholesome and a good place to live. In order to do that, then our goals have to be, a big one for me is to keep our hospital going and to keep it open. If we don't have a hospital, we don't have anything. No industry will come here without a hospital. Nobody will come here to move here without a hospital. I mean, I got to have a hospital near me. So that's another goal, is to keep the hospital going, and that comes back to a lot of good things for our community.
All right, thank you, Ms. Hendricks.
Well, like everyone's saying, jobs and industry, that is something we all need. I mean, we're always glad to hear anyone that comes in and asks for an incentive to be able to come. We'll be glad to have any kind of plants. I think our new water plant is going to make an impact on that. I mean, it's going to be a tremendous water source. It's going to be a clean water source, and that's going to be great for our existing citizens as well as new citizens coming in. And number two for me is our rental ordinance that we have set up. We hadn't got to imply it as much as we want to yet. We were getting an ordinance officer. There's a lot of homes in this community that are not fit to live in, and yet people are using it as rental homes. And I think that's something very important that we need to clean up, not just our sidewalks, but our rental homes in our communities. And I think that would make a big difference. And we're going to start imposing this ordinance and start cracking down and make these houses more suitable to live in. And my number three thing would have to be our swimming pool. We're going to continue to make that a conversation that we, as well as other entities in the county and the tourism and parks and rec, can get together and try to make this important for us too, to have that swimming pool built. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Bodine. Top three priorities if elected.
Well, there's not a lot left, but there's a few things we don't have here that I would like to see. It could come on a small basis in small buildings. We don't have very many services. People ask me every day, who's a good plumber? Who's a good electrician? Where can I get my car worked on? Where can I get my tires rotated? There's a lot of things here that we just don't have that maybe we ought to look into or try to get people This is going back to the school questions of teaching skills and trades. There's a lot of skills and trades here that we could bring and that people would definitely use, because I would. Secondly, look for more ideas to increase tourism, and I'm going to skip on that and go to number three. I think everybody that's elected knows each other, with the exception of one or two. We all grew up together. We all know each other. And to get a pool, it's going to take us all. It's like raising a kid. You need a village. It's not going to be just one person. It's going to take all, maybe donations, maybe anything, and work together and get a pool and just call each other and help. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we're going to wrap it up with that one, but I've got a question. If Mayor, Mr. Gossel, if it's okay, we'll ask one more question. You guys okay with that? And we'll ask one more question. I think we've got some great discussion going on. You know, this modern day of technology, you get a question texted to you from someone listening at home. So here we go. and we'll start with Mr. Brian Futrell on this one first of all. What can be done about road repair in the city of Cadiz?
Road repair in the city of Cadiz.
Yeah, people are.
Yeah, we have a budget for that, and whatever's budgeted in that in the budget, that's what we stick by, and we usually don't go over. If I'm not mistaken, I think we have some road repair that's fixing to go or take place within this next week. Actually, I think they were supposed to start today or yesterday, but there was a problem with Rogers Group's equipment. And anyway, we do address road repair. It's in our budget, and what people need to realize, according to our public works director, Mr. Fowler, is things aren't as cheap as they used to be. So that is something we might need to look at as the city of Cadiz in the future is increasing our budget for road repair to make sure these roads stay like they should be.
Thank you very much, Mr. Future. We'll go to Mr. Noel for next of all. No, Bob, same question.
Like I said, we do have a budget for road repair. We do get funds from the state, and we repair as many roads as we can with that budget. Like I said, every year the asphalting has gone up, and maybe we're going to have to look at using expanding our budget, using some city tax dollars to expand that budget. Right now, pretty much what we use is what the state gives us.
Mr. Shermerhorn, same question. How can we better improve road maintenance in the city of Cadiz?
Well, I mean, all I can do is echo what the other two gentlemen have said. There is already a budget in place for it. And if the damage to the roads within the city requires that perhaps the budget should be increased for it, then it would be up to the city council to go ahead and put their heads together and find a way to squeeze out those funds.
Okay. Now we'll go to Ms. Bryant. Next, same question.
Of course, you've already heard, we have it in the budget and amount of money that we can use each time. And we listen to or take advice or information from residents. But one thing that we have changed that I think has been good over the years is we used to kind of spot it. You know, we do a little here, do a little there. And we decided that it was probably best if we kept it all, did one long road instead of just spot checking here and there, and thereby get to repairing a longer area of road and then save some of the others till later. Now, I mean, you know, that's not a really good answer when it's not your road, if it's yours that you want repaired. I mean, there's some things on mine I ask about too. But that we try the best we can to get the most out of the money that we can. And as things have gone up, I mean, it might be something that if there's enough places that need it, that we need to reevaluate and relook at the budget and see if that's something that we want to do or something that we need to do.
And Ms. Hendricks, same question. How do we better repair roads in Cadiz?
Well, I'm not sure how we can better repair our roads in Cadiz. We do have, like they said, have a budget for road repair. Expenses are high when it comes to blacktop and all that, but it might be a good idea if we could contact our city council, the city hall people, if there is a road that has damage, whether it's potholes or the whole road. Maybe that's something that the citizens could, you know, let the city hall know and give us a heads up. Maybe we can come look at it. We can change maybe our direction, what's getting paved. But a lot of times those things are kind of set as to what we can do and how much we can pave. So a lot of times your hands are tied when it comes to that part of it.
All right, same question to Ms. Bodine. What can we do to make sure our roads are repaired in Cadiz?
Well, I have to tell you, I have to give kudos to everybody that is responsible for paving and taking care of the budget, because I just don't see that the roads are all that bad, considering other places and other people's places, towns. Our roads are really pretty good. The roads I drive on, I don't have any problems with them. Now, I don't venture far, but I stay within the city limits mostly, and I think the city's doing a great job. I don't know anything about budgeting because I'm not elected, but I think it's been done pretty good. I can't complain.
All right, same question to Mr. Phillips.
It's just like everybody said, the budget's not much on repairing roads. Maybe we need to look into doubling that budget. Maybe the people need to call, like I say, call City Hall and let us know if there's a road in bad shape or someplace. Maybe we can patch it until we can get it paved.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. And same question to Ms. Fitzgerald. Or did we start with you a while ago, didn't we? Okay, that's right.
You can answer again.
Forgot what you answered again, Brian. That's fine. We made it all the way around. Okay, that's our final question for the Cadiz City Council forum tonight. Now we'll start with our closing statements. And since Mr. Futrell had the last question, we'll start next with Mr. Bob Noel with your closing statement. Bob, you have 1 minute.
I've been your councilman for the past few years. I've appreciated your support. I hope I can have your support again this year. I enjoy doing this job. And I enjoy hearing from the people. I mean, if you have something that you want done or if you have an opinion on a vote coming up, I'd like to hear from you to know how you're feeling so I'll know how to vote. I mean, that's what I think. It's your voice. I mean, I'm your voice for you, but I want to hear from you so I'll know what you're thinking. I'd appreciate your support coming up.
Mr. Shermerhorn, your closing statement. You have 1 minute.
Again, like I said earlier, I'm the oddball, but my strength is in budgeting. I budgeted the Army's largest food service contract for a year and actually saved the American taxpayers well over $55 million, which subsequently they made me turn around and spend. But I know a large part of what the City Council does is budgeting, and right there I can really help you out. And I am a common sense person, so common sense approach for me has always been the best way to go. Appreciate your vote on the 6th. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Shermerhorn. Appreciate that. Now we'll go to Ms. Susan Bryan with your closing remarks.
Well, I appreciate that you all came, that you sat through what we had to say. And I realize that often we repeat each other because the answers are very similar. They're not going to be a lot different from one to one because of the nature of the question and what needs to be done or what needs to be said. I would like to continue to serve. I enjoy serving. I like to hear from the community when we have issues coming up. I do listen, and that helps me make a decision on how I'm going to vote. I just like to feel like I'm a part of what's going on in the city and the decision making, and hopefully that the decisions are good and that things will turn out well, and which I believe that they will, whoever sits on the council.
And Ms. Hendricks, your closing remarks, for we have 1 minute.
Yes, I'd appreciate your support for my next election here on November the 6th. I have enjoyed being on the City Council immensely. I've enjoyed working with the mayor, Brian and his staff, and Carrie, the guys at the water department, as well as the chief of police and his guys. Sorry, I got the wrong people there. But anyway, I've enjoyed working with all of them. Chief Grace, Chad Grace and them have been great to work with. It seems like 2 years we're just getting started. I would like to be able to be on the council again. I've enjoyed working with all these guys. It's great to hear from people and anybody has anything that they need to come to us, don't feel backward about it, because there's a lot of things that I had no idea how things worked until I got on the city council. So what some things may seem strange to you until you're a part of it, you don't really realize what's going on. So we're always open for any kinds of questions or comments. And I just appreciate your vote on November the 6th. Thank you.
And thank you, Ms. Hendricks. Now, Ms. Bodine, your closing remarks.
Well, I have to say, Cadiz is probably the heart and soul of me. I love it with all my heart, and I want to do the best I can. I'll be readily accessible downtown. Can't run from you. I'll keep a notebook, and you can come down. You can sit and talk for an hour or 10 minutes. Tell me what's on your mind, and be sure that I will let it be passed on. I love talking. I love people, and I would be thrilled if you'd vote for me on November the 6th for council. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bodine. Now, Mr. Phillips, your closing statement.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight. I appreciate your support in the past, and would appreciate it again in the future. If I take every concern serious, and anything I can ever do for you, I will try to do the best I can. If I can't do anything for you, come to the meetings and let all of us talk to you. I appreciate your support and vote on November the 6th.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. And now, Mr. Brian Future, your closing remarks.
Yes. Anytime you need anything, just feel free to give me a call or stop by and see me. I don't vote for myself. I vote for everyone, and I take that into consideration. There are some times when we make votes, I don't always agree with what I'm voting on because I'm voting for my constituents throughout the community. So I'm not just on there for me and to do what I want to do. I want to be on the city council to support you as the voter, and I appreciate your support on November 6th, and thank you for everything, WKDZ, for holding this event.
Thank you, Mr. Futrell. Thank you, all of our KDZ City Council candidates. Let's give them all a big hand tonight. They've done a great job. And we'll come back. We'll take a little break and switch out our stage, get our KDIS mayor candidates up. We'll finish our final forum tonight with our candidates for mayor coming up in just a moment.
You're listening to Decision 2018.